Honey, I'm going out. I'll be back in a couple hours.
You play Farmville and call yourself a gamer.
You said awesome, and I said I hate it.
Okay, so here we go. This is where the extended knowledge comes in.
Don't mind me. I'm just staring at a wall somewhere.
Can anyone afford Benedict Cumberbatch?
That's surprising.
I don't think a human could make those sounds.
Yeah, well, you can do it, though, can't you?
Yeah, I get it.
Hi, I'm Dean.
Hi, I'm Jason Shaw.
Jason Shaw.
Yeah.
Because of Jason
anyway, Statham.
And I'm Jason Statham. Okay. That's a great joke. And I'm Paul.
Thank you.
Welcome to Nerds Before Birds. It is the one-stop podcast where you will find news, rankings, and general discussion, often ending in arguments on most
always,
things pop
always
culture.
Always ending yeah. in arguments.
None of that Twilight always. Stuff here ain't happening. So today, if you didn't listen to last week's podcast, today we're going to be talking about the new action blockbuster, number one grossing film in the world,
no,
soon
it's
to
not.
Be Fast and the Furious Hobbs and Shaw Adventure.
Hobbs and Shaw.
Hobbs and Shaw Adventures.
Yeah. Adventures with Hobbs and Shaw.
That's right.
Just in case we were confused, Fast and Furious presented it.
Presented it, yeah. Mm-hmm. It is presented by Fast and Furious.
Was it Fast and Furious presents Tokyo Hobbs Drift as well?
No. Yeah, no.
Love it.
How dumb.
Yeah, it is very dumb. It is a very dumb title. Like Fast and Furious presents. Like, oh yeah, okay, we get it. We know that they're the same characters from
It'd
the
be
Fast
like if
and
they
Furious
did.
Franchise. Like
Star Wars presents Rogue One.
Well, yeah, no, I suppose they kind of do that because they say a Star Wars story. But
this is true.
It's just as obnoxious, it's, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think it is as obnoxious. I think presents is way more obnoxious. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's like so annoying.
Yeah.
I like how quickly you backflipped on that too.
Of course. Yeah. Well, how about we present our thoughts on the movie, Dean? Right. Let's shift it into first gear with you.
Look.
All the night, boys. Oh, no. If you hate car puns, leave.
Yeah, this is not the podcast for you.
I ain't stopping. I don't stop for red and blue.
The thing I hate about this movie is that Fast and Furious is in the title. That's pretty much it.
Okay.
Apart from that, I kind of love this movie. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, right.
I had a ball. I loved it. It was fun. It was... And all that comedy, pretty much, which was like something that this franchise needs at this point because it needs to laugh at itself. And this one was just cracking up the whole time. Loved it. So good.
Yeah, fair
brilliant.
Enough.
Yeah.
Well,
what
thanks,
about you,
Dean?
Jason.
Let's clutch in, shift to second. Jason, how about you, big boy?
I didn't like this movie.
No.
Shock.
Shut up.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I didn't like it.
Of course.
No, it honestly, for me, it felt like it went for an hour too long.
Okay.
And when we got
it did
to like,
feel long.
It did feel really long.
It was like, long too.
And it was. I was like, are we still going? And the problem being is that I've seen the trailer. So I know like, you know, all the setups and everything like that. And I honestly got to about 2/3 of the way through this movie. And I was like, okay, that should be the climax of the movie. And then I was like, wait, I've seen the trailer. I know that they've got to go to a whole nother country by now.
Climaxing.
And we're still we've still got to get a climax in this movie. And it's like,
it does go
it
on.
It just goes on forever.
It does.
I'm like, oh, what is this movie? I got
it's
bored.
It's like the runway from Fast and Furious 6.
Yeah, it really is. And they do have the runway from Fast and Furious 6.
And it is two finales. Pretty much in one movie.
Someone did the math on theoretically how long that runway should have been.
Yeah,
and
I
it was
did
like
see that,
47
actually.
Kilometers.
Yeah,
which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, that is pretty good. But
all right,
Paul,
I didn't like it.
That's me. Yeah, sorry.
Paul,
what
I'm
about
pretty
you,
sure
Paul?
I know
instead of
what
hitting
you
second, we've hit the handbrake and flung the car backwards.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Paul,
all night. Yeah. Come on. Do you think I hated it?
No.
No, not at all.
No.
I did.
What?
Shut up.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. Great. It's stupid. It's exactly what you said, Dean. It is a movie that doesn't take itself too seriously.
Oh, it's so fun.
And knows exactly what it is.
Yes.
And
I mean,
thought it was funny.
I do agree with Jason. It does like, it gets to a point where you think it's going to end and then it keeps going for another hour. And there's like, there's two finales in this movie. But I guess depending on your enjoyment level, is it. How, like, you know, because I was sitting there, I was like, I don't want this to finish. I'm having too much fun. I'm enjoying it too much.
I was happy for it to finish at, you know, two-thirds through. I was like, yeah, okay, if it ends here, then it's like just a popcorn movie. Happy. And it just, I really found it kind of boring by that stage.
Because I forgot all about the Samoa stuff. They finished in that facility. It's like, I know someone we can go off grid. It's like, oh, yeah, it's like a whole Samoa thing at the end of this. Yeah. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to that point in the movie and I was like, maybe they just threw that in the trailer as, like, you know, just a red herring. And it was like actually not going to happen in this movie because they're out of time.
It was like the TIE fighter in the Rogue One trailer. They were just completely added.
Where the trailer house. We never went to Samoa.
Yeah, at all.
Samoa was added by the trailer house. Brilliant.
They actually went to Samoa. I think it's in Hawaii somewhere, right?
It was in Hawaii.
It was
in Hawaii.
Yeah.
It was where they filmed Jurassic World.
Yeah, it does definitely look like that. And I was like, Samoa's not that big. And them driving around, they'd probably be right on the other side of the Samoa by the end.
Samoans are that big.
Yes, that's fair.
I played football against them once.
Yeah.
It hurt.
There you go.
Okay. There you go. You've heard it here first.
You heard it here first. Samoa, not a big place.
Samoans,
huge.
Big.
But but Cliff Curtis, he's not that big. He's a New Zealander. Like, he's not that big a guy.
Say it to his face.
Well, he's not like the other guys that big kind of thing. He's not the Rock size.
Is he the guy?
No, he's from Die Hard 4.
Thank you. Yeah, yes. Whole time I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Die Hard 4?
Yes, he is. Yeah, yeah.
I was doing my head
what
in.
What else do I know him from? It's in a bunch of things, eh?
Yeah, he's in heaps of different things, but like he sort of has all, like, it's Live Free or Die Hard, depending where you are in the world. That's what it's called, or it's called Die Hard 4.0, I think, which we had, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
He's also in Sunshine as well.
Fear the Walking Dead. That's
he was in Fear the Walking Dead, but I don't think he's still. Well, actually, I'm not up to date on that.
I stopped watching that a while ago.
Yeah,
he was in the Meg.
He was in the Meg as well. Yeah,
which is probably also why he's in this. Because
So
the Statham connection.
He played Fire Lord Ozai in the cult hit The Last Airbender.
Really?
Cult hit in Zero Ways because everyone hates it.
He's also apparently in Avatar.
He is in
all the Avatars, five
or whatever.
So
he's not in number one, right?
He's in the Avatar sequels, I should say.
I feel like everyone that's being credited for the Avatar sequels is like basically being credited for 2 to 5. Like, it just doesn't seem like, because everything on IMDb seems so all over the place. It's kind of like when you have a new series that's going to drop and like on Netflix and they're credited to being in like everything. But when you watch the actual series, they'll probably be in like 2 episodes.
Yeah, it's basically just all scared, like everyone's just guessing at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
Steven Seagal, an executive decision.
yes, basically. That'll be Cliff Curtis in Avatar.
That's right. He's going to die straight away.
Yeah,
apparently, completely. But Vin Diesel's in Avatar.
Yeah, what? He's the tree.
Nice. No,
I keep thinking with this movie that there could be an alternative title because Vin Diesel's obviously not in it. It could be like two bald guys call each other names for 2.5 hours while one, while we forget about the other bald guy who's angry for not being in the movie kind of thing. That's
that was definitely the working title, Jason.
Yeah, I think it was.
Exactly it.
Yeah, I think
it
was.
Still less words than the Planet of the Apes series.
Oh, freaking heck.
You're right. You're right. Oh, it is not less words. I don't know how well you went to count.
Well, how well you went to count.
Sorry, oh, man, what? I'm so late time.
All right. No. Well, before we get into reviewing this movie, real quick, we've got
Which
a little thing over here.
Don't
it's
Jason.
Nerds Before... Shush. Nerds Before Learns County.
Yep, Learns County.
If you leave us a 5-star review. This is the section where we stroke our egos. Woo! If you leave us a 5-star review, we read it on the podcast. The only, you can write whatever you want.
Yeah.
The only prerequisite is it have to be 5 stars. If you hate the podcast, make it 5 stars and go, this is hands down the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. And I've witnessed someone getting murdered.
And we'll read it. Yeah.
And we will not read it out loud.
We will read it.
We will read it.
I'll read it.
We won't read it on the podcast.
You know.
We'll read it out loud. I will happily read that.
Look, not every review is going to go on there, okay? Sometimes we might have a light week and your review will come up. Mm-hmm. Just leave us a review. So, this week's review comes from Corsair.
Corsair.
Incredible Corsair. Pop culture awareness between the hosts. That means any audience can enter this and leave having laughed. Now, we hope you're laughing because you think the content is funny and not because you're like, these guys are crap. Right. Corsair, thank you. You are thank our you. Review of
we'll,
the week.
We'll take it
you're
as a positive.
You're also our only review of the week.
Yeah.
So.
So, review of the week.
You're the review of the week.
If this review has shown our listeners anything, is that it doesn't have to be as funny as the review that we did last week. It can be honest.
Last week's was
hilarious.
It can be that honest.
That was heartfelt. I liked it. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Either way, as long as it's five stars, that's all that matters, really.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
It can be gibberish.
So if you'd like to leave us a review, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud.
Yeah.
I got no idea where else. That's about it. Facebook.
Maybe if you end up leaving us a review in like a random podcast app or something like that, just shoot us a message on Facebook just so we know where that is, because sometimes we won't be able to find it. So if you just alert us to where it is, that'd be great.
A lot.
Yeah.
We have to sift through many review.
Yeah. Nice.
All right.
So.
Hang on. Wait. So, what? Dean, hey. Sorry. Does it saw or flip?
Oh, yeah.
Not the review.
Source. Definitely source.
Source. Jason, going to guess flip?
It's like an air kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay.
It's an AMU. Sure. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
So, it doesn't suck.
It soars.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. Of course.
Like a car that doesn't have a spoiler and has good downforce, this car soars.
Oh, is this going to be the night? Because I'm leaving now. Like, if that's I'm checking out. This is me done.
Welcome to hell.
Oh, my God. Why did I?
Also, to our listeners, we might have a position opening up very soon. So if you're listening,
I don't know if that's a threat to kick me off it or a threat to replace Jason. We all just talked at once.
Yes, we did.
That's going to be fun.
Tune in next week to figure out whose joke gets kept.
And you're editing this one, so it'll be Paul's.
Yeah,
so,
it'll be Paul's. My joke. It'll definitely
it's
be Paul's.
My jokes.
Yeah.
My jokes are funny anyway. We open in London. It's nighttime, so it's probably cold. It is nighttime. There is an attack helicopter ripping through the streets.
As you do.
Ripping through the streets. Yes. And it drops off a military squad. These guys swarm into a garage around a truck with very coincidentally dressed bad guys all wearing black. So it's
and
very
they also, so you know that the guys that are swarming in are actually good guys. They announce that they're like, we're not going to kill anybody. Basically, we're going to just like taser them or whatever with our guns.
Yep.
So it's like,
that's right. Yeah, like any good guy does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you know straight up that these are not the bad guys, which is nice.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
I really appreciate
it. Well, anyway,
so
they do exactly what they set out to do. They tase and tie all the peoples.
Yes. They do.
And they get the package. We see Vanessa Kirby's character, Hattie.
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 Because you know how the British love their hats. So.
They love the hats. Yeah. They're all about the hats.
If you know anything about history, you should look up some of the 1800s stuff. Like there'll be people that get hung or whatever. And and they will talk about their attire and whether they were wearing hats or not at the time. And it's so random. Like, it was such a big thing to have hats throughout the 1800s and stuff. It's just, it's so bizarre because it's like, oh, and he wasn't wearing a hat. Must have been a bad person.
So we hung him quicker.
Yeah,
we shot him as well.
It's like,
we sniped him in the face while he was mid-hang.
Because it used to be such a big thing, having a hat or not having a hat, and when you wore it, when you don't wear it kind of thing. But it's just really bizarre how how time has changed and it's not that big a deal anymore.
Well, there you go. Did you learn that from the dollop?
No, I learned that from living through it. yes, I learned that from the dollop.
Well, today's podcast is brought to you by the dollop.
That's one of your conversation starters, isn't it? Like, you walk into a party and they just, anyone's just talking about hats. It's like, speaking of hats, hangings.
Hangings. Hats and hangings go together like you would Did not you know? Believe. Yep.
Okay. Anyway.
There you go.
So, Hattie hops into the truck to get the package. She has the package, and then we see a mysterious man ride up very quietly.
Who is
and
it?
Proceed to kill literally everybody in that room.
So he's I'm guessing not a good guy.
Well, he's wearing black.
If you listen to what he says.
He says he's the bad guy. Yeah, that's
bad
right.
Bad guy.
Yes.
That also definitely gave it away. It's a bit of a giveaway.
Well, this is Idris Elba's character, Brixton, who is a freak and starts to kill everybody. Hattie tries to get away and she locks herself in the back of the in the truck.
Yeah.
And we can see that this guy is genetically altered because he's a strong boy. Mm-hmm. He's punching through the back door.
And he also Hattie has his eyes that do like the whole thing, like a robotic sort of thing. Yeah.
It's like Sherlock Holmes, but cheating.
He's basically Terminator vision. That's what he is. That's
that
what
makes
he's got.
More sense.
So, yeah. And this is when I realized that finally the Fast and the Furious is like really merged the superhero sort of genre. Mm-hmm. So now they've actually legitimately got superheroes in this and not just people that seem to be superheroes. So that's nice.
I kind of love because whenever I was talking about this to anyone, like trying to encourage them to go see, I was like, look, do not expect like original Fast and Furious because, you know, the difference between,
huge
undercover cop. Now this one, the bad guy is cybernetically enhanced Terminator.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's completely like, different.
They did it with the Bourne Legacy, right? Like they did that.
Oh, yeah, I hated that, though.
Sort of genetically manipulated kind of thing, but it doesn't really work in that because that's kind of this gritty sort of grounded kind of show, whereas this, it
And
hasn't
they jumped
been
shark too quickly,
for,
I think.
Yeah, yeah,
if
for sure.
If that makes sense. Like, because the first three Bourne films were just completely, like, super grounded the whole time. Like, that was their thing. And then they went to, you know, genetically enhanced crap with Legacy and it was completely different. This one has been a slow burn since like literally like every single movie in the Fast and Furious franchise has got more and more ridiculous.
Yeah.
Less grounded.
That's the opposite
more
of
far-fetched.
It's a fast burn.
Fast burn. I get Fast and Furious.
Hilarious. Like they bring back the trucks that are like, well, I don't know, they're like super jacked up or whatever so that a car can drive underneath them. That's a nice little addition that they brought back to this series.
I love it.
From
any
the first
that's
one.
In any movie, it's great. Oh, yeah.
So good.
I keep, it's like just not a thing though. Like you
Having
just have to have the perfect truck.
Not here.
not here. Australia.
But apparently every truck in America For the last 15 to 20 years.
Yeah.
There you go.
Is it London? Is that where that happens?
Yes. It is London,
right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
So what Hattie does is she realizes that this thing's a virus, so she injects herself with it and manages to escape and avoids Brixton, which is great.
Not a smart move, Hattie, because she injects the virus into herself. So
said that.
Yeah, you just said that. Did you?
Thank you.
He did just say that.
I wasn't listening.
Yeah. You guys are saying Hattie.
Hattie. Yeah, we're too busy covering the important content here.
Yeah, yeah.
Hattie.
Come on, so, man. You're missing your name.
And then we cut to a wonderful
first of all,
moment.
What does
Lord.
What does Brixton do? Brixton does something very... it's part
angry?
Of the plot. No, he sets her up.
What?
He shoots the team and then sets her up as a traitor.
And
sets Attie up as a traitor.
He frames her as a traitor.
As a traitor.
As a traitor.
Traitor. Traitor.
Traitor.
As a traitor.
Should we do Jason Statham impressions for the whole podcast?
Absolutely.
Why not?
You should not.
Let's do it. I'm happy. I'm going to do it. All right.
I only listened to the first part of that sentence. So all I heard was you absolutely bloody. And that's, yeah. So should not.
Should not.
Should not.
Oh, cool. Let's not.
So,
if you're still listening and you're wondering, where did Jason and Dean go? I cut their audio tracks. Wait, it's just me.
Let's not argue this anymore. Yes, we should.
Okay, keep talking until Dean shuts the hell up. So, what happens next is that we cut to a cool little dual screen moment where we introduce Hobbs and Shaw living their very same but very different lifestyles. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hobbs wakes up alone. Shaw wakes up with a woman.
Yes.
That kind of stuff. They go to the gym. He goes to the pub at like 8 in the morning, which I love. That's awesome. The man who knows what he wants.
Mm-hmm. I think that's where you usually are at 8 in the morning, right, Paul?
You know, I'd like to not comment. For legal reasons.
And because someone at your AA meeting might be listening.
High class
/ boss.
Your sponsor.
He was the review. He was the 5-star review.
Yeah. I really love this guy.
5-star review. I love this podcast. Plus, Paul is not having alcohol anymore.
It's keeping him on the straight and narrow.
Bugger.
I love how this podcast has progressed and keeps getting better every week.
Yeah, okay.
That's great.
Like a 12-step program. Just, he keeps going.
I would happily like to say that this podcast is 12 weeks sober.
This podcast is 12 weeks sober. Oh, good golly. So, they both get calls from people about stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait, no. Do they get the calls or do they do the bit where he fights the guy in the tattoo parlor?
No, they get the call and then they do the fight.
Yeah, and then they do.
Oh, because they're chasing different leads. Yeah, yes. Right. So,
which I don't get, because like if we go off the continuity of the series, Hobbs has retired by this point, or he's not doing the same job.
He's obviously freelance. That's what I'm getting.
Okay, is that what's happening?
He never retired.
Yeah, he did, because he did right at the end. He was like, daddy's not going to work to the child. Like at the end, he's like, I'm not.
His arm was broken.
This is true.
No, he said he's staying home.
That was in number 7. His arm was broken in number 7, not number 8.
Yeah, yeah. Number 7.
I forgot about 8. I forget about 8.
I feel like, by the way, I've watched number 7 now. I've watched number 7. Oh. And Jason, you're totally right. Yeah. It doesn't change how much you enjoy number 8 at all.
Or understand
number 8 still doesn't make any sense.
No. But, did you watch the beach scene?
Yeah, yeah. That's the best part in the movie.
I can't watch it anymore. I stopped the movie.
Yeah, I know you
before
do.
The beach scene.
I did.
Cry.
I think my favorite thing about watching Fast and Furious 7 was like I was, you know, number 7 was I was just sitting there trying to pick which shots of Paul Walker were real and which parts were CG.
Oh, man, that's so morbid. That's, like to hear that sentence. I do it as well. I fully did it when I was watching it. But it just sounds so weird when you shape it like that. You're like,
I know, but that's just like.
Like that's
one of my favorite
things. I love finding which parts the dead actor wasn't in.
Yes, it's basically that.
5 stars.
Yeah. Maybe I should have phrased it differently. So maybe I should have been more tasteful.
Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe.
Just run it down there. But I did actually enjoy that too.
Like, the best part of Fast and Furious 7. Oh no, we had gotten that, don't worry.
No, definitely not.
There was a reason why I was saying that. Oh yeah, no, so the bit where in number 8 where he's like, oh, daddy's staying home, like daddy's not going to work, that can be taken as him retiring. It could also just be him taking a day off. Like, we don't know.
Daddy's staying home today.
Daddy's staying today. He'll come back in on Monday.
Daddy's not going to work.
For 30 minutes. You've got 30 minutes and then I've got you all mine for 30 minutes. I'll give you my undying attention and then I'm going to work, okay?
Daddy's not going to work because it's already 4 p.m. There's no point. I'll be there for half an hour. I'll go back
Daddy's
tomorrow.
Not going to work because we're currently in Samoa and it's a 26-hour flight home. Okay.
Yes. So they both get their respective calls and they're like, we've got to go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to go to whatever and do beatdowns on random people, which I'm so glad that they choreographed these across continents because it's like beat for beat exactly the same what's happening for for Hobbs and what is happening for Shaw. Like they basically have exactly the same kind of thing happening, which is which is cool. But yeah,
it is.
I liked it. I thought it was a cool scene. I like the differences in the way they like. He's all classy and suave. He's like, I'm what you call a champagne problem.
Yeah,
And then the Hulk. What's the Rock? He's like
the Rock.
Big can of
big can of whoopass or something. Yep.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. But it's like they've got different stars, but they are very much the same kind of guy. And that's why they worked so well together.
But yeah. So BFFs, but they don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
So they get their respective calls. They follow up their respective leads and beat up their respective people.
Yes.
Lots of respect.
And they meet.
So much respect.
A lot of respects. Then they both get met up by CIA contacts. Shaw gets caught up with some guy from the CIA who's obviously from the CIA.
But
whereas
who does?
We have an unexpected
Hobbs.
Cameo from Mr. Ryan Reynolds meeting up with Hobbs, which is just excellent. He's so good in this.
He is basically playing Deadpool.
Well, he is. Yeah. And I mean, like, it's the same director as Deadpool 2. So, like, they're sort of just like, let's sort of just have him be that role in this.
Holy crap. Like, what a surprise that was, seeing him in this.
And he was excellent.
I'm glad they went with someone, like, big for it because I was kind of going, okay, where are they going to go with this? Are they going to get Mr. Nobody? Are they going to get Kurt Russell? Or are they going to get someone like just like and not pay like a massive amount for that person to be in the movie?
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of cool to see another sort of A-lister jump into that role.
It was cool.
That hasn't been connected to any of the other Fast and Furious movies.
Yeah.
And that's just like, I think it was a bit of a flex on the director's part. It was like,
yeah, probably.
Guess who I got to play this, you know, tiny little role. Yeah, that's right.
And I feel like they've started it out really tiny, but then they're like, hey, let's just ad lib and add a few extra scenes with you and
let's just see what happens.
I reckon he was only on set for like 2 days, but
he's in a
pretty big chunk of the movie from that.
Yeah, it's quite surprising actually how much he actually appears in it. But I think it would have been, you know, 1 day of filming or 2 days of filming. And
Yeah,
he's in like half an hour of the movie just like here and there
but it's a great half an hour. It's probably the most laughter in a half an hour.
Does elevate it whenever he's in the movie. He does bring it to another level. I feel like in this I know that they were going for a kind of comedy feel, but for me a lot of the jokes didn't land. But Ryan Reynolds is just so good that all his stuff lands really well. But
honestly,
there's a few moments when it just doesn't work for me.
The ones that didn't land for me was all the Game of Thrones references.
Yeah.
That did feel pretty thrown in for the sake of like, you know, giving it like
relevance.
Yeah. Basically just trying
to. Which is an interesting thing because it's like a lot of people shy away from putting those kinds of references in purely because it dates the movie.
It's going to date it so bad.
It is.
Yeah.
But currently it's trending. So, you know, why not? But I think
I feel like it's already dated the movie. I think it has made it. Like, I mean, if it came out the week that the final episode of Game of Thrones came out, that makes sense.
Hilarious.
It's been a few months since Game of Thrones came out. It's already dated. It's already old kind of thing.
I reckon they filmed it the week of the finale. And they thought, this is going to be such a great idea. It's going to be trending forever. Because it's such a big deal. Why is nobody talking about this? They are.
We've made a terrible mistake.
Everyone was talking about it. And then we stopped.
Yes.
We moved on. But yeah.
Yes, we did.
Fun.
Reynolds gives them. Okay.
I was just like, the other guy that meets up with Statham, I didn't realize who it was. What's his name?
You still don't realize who it was.
I don't know.
Rob Delaney.
No, he was in Deadpool 2 as well.
He was Peter.
Peter, Rob, yeah. He was Peter. From Deadpool 2.
Oh, really? Right.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. There you go.
It's like, that's hilarious.
That's right. That's what I knew him from. Mm-hmm. That's so crazy that I didn't even recognize him. How good is he in that scene in Deadpool 2?
He's great in Deadpool 2.
That is the funniest thing.
Seemed like a good idea. Good.
Just
you're in.
Walk away. Go.
Well, anyway, so both of these guys inform Hobbs and Shaw of a missing virus.
Yes.
And they're told to meet in London. They're going to be working, you know, they're both assets and they're going to be working as a team and they need these people. And then they realize that they're working together and they're very much against it.
Because they forgot the last movie, apparently. Because,
exactly.
Yeah.
They worked together once.
They worked together last time, and they worked together quite well last time, and they had a nice little rooftop scene at the end where they're, like, basically buddies, and they're, like, joking and stuff. Their kind of character arc gets reset and forgotten for this.
Maybe this happens before Fast 7.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. They're both in prison.
Definitely doesn't.
So they both sort of go off at each other and they realize, no, we're a terrible team. We're not going to work together. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do my thing. You go and do yours. And they do thusly.
They do.
So The Rock just knows where Hattie is and he's waiting for her outside a club.
Because why not?
And
how did that happen? Like, yeah.
Whereas Shaw's first instinct is to go to her home, which is obviously booby-trapped. Mm-hmm. And waiting at her home is a bunch of dudes.
Yes.
And he proceeds to kill all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aggressively. Yeah. It's very fun.
It is quite fun.
Shotgun. Was there a shotgun? Or he killed him with some stuff.
Yeah, there is a shotgun underneath the table or something. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so quite fun. I read a thing this week that, according to IndieWire, Jason Statham has in his contract the amount he can be beat up. And so, apparently, Vin Diesel has had it as well. And also, like, on the set of Fate, I'll call it. And he basically wanted to make sure that everyone was, like, being beaten up the same amount correctly. Or, you know, like, you didn't, one person didn't look better than the other person kind of thing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. So
I guess,
like,
you don't.
Yeah.
You don't want to be in that movie, though. It's like, oh, well, you were from that movie where you got your face kicked in.
It's that. But it's also like, you know, I can take, like, you know, 3 punches, but then I give about 12 punches. That's kind of how it works. It's like, yeah.
It's so weird.
It is really weird.
That's exactly how this ratio works.
Man, on a, like, just a scheduling, you know, like, just a planning thing for this movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's just ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous.
You also have, like, Idris Elba with a similar contract as well. I'm assuming.
Well, I don't know. It was only reported on Jason Statham and The Rock, I believe, had it for this.
Imagine if The Rock, Elba, and Statham all had that clause, and the end of the final fight scene is basically like that flinch fight from Corridor Digital.
Yeah.
They're like,
so I'm going to get punched 3 times. But then I got to punch you guys 12 times, but because you can't be punched more than 3 times and you can't be punched more than 3 times, I'm going to have to punch you 3 times, going to have to punch you 3 times, going to have to get a 4th guy in, punch him 3 times.
Boys, look, we're going to have to do a lot of punches simultaneously.
Hey, guys, we're just going to have to just drop the punching. We're just going to go to shooting, okay? We're out of punches.
But you can only shoot me 3 times.
Well, I can only be shot 5 times.
Yeah, I have a quarter on my shooting. How many times I can be shot?
That's right.
I'm only allowed
to take 5 to the chest.
It's actually the opposite. You see, I can be shot 20 times and I have to survive. And I just,
you can only shoot him 3 times in the face.
Yeah, 3 times in the face, but only on my bad side. I don't want to look
never
bad.
Never target the limbs. I use my limbs to kick.
Yeah.
All of them. All 4 limbs. My guns. To kick. Yeah. I've got my arm legs and my leg legs.
I was thinking because, you know, that's part of their contract and that's, you know, that's obviously what they hold dear. Maybe we could just have that with the Nerds Before Birds contract that you guys can't say more than 5 jokes at my expense per episode. I was thinking that's something that I might enforce because, yeah, I think it's fair. And I think you probably met that quote.
Use that word loosely.
So we can make
Jason's
3 jokes.
Enforcing is like, guys, quit it.
Please.
Stop. Oh, man. So we can only, like, do 3 jokes.
Hey, wait. You're burning through them, Ball. You're burning through them right now.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jason.
No, now Jason has to give you, like, 12 massive sick burns.
Yeah, that's it. That's
after
it.
After that, but, 3.
12 massive sick burns.
And you can't witty retort back at me because that doesn't happen now.
Until he's got his 12 out.
You've got to just be quiet and take it.
for 12.
Yeah.
The no retaliation clause.
The no retaliation clause.
Oh, my gosh. I want a word with your lawyer, Jason, because I don't think this clause is going to hold any.
Well, you're not allowed to have a word until Jason's finished his 12.
Yeah, exactly. So be quiet.
Shush, you.
Anyways, where were we up to in the movie?
Here's where we're up to. Yeah. So Shaw kills everybody in Hattie's apartment.
That's right, yes.
Captures her, and they both reconvene at the CIA building, which is, you know, luckily located in the center of London.
Yes.
Shaw reveals that Hattie is his sister, and she sort of gives him the whole rundown on what's going on. She's got this virus in her, and she'd like to get it out, please. And then explosive transition.
It took a little too long for them, like, for her to just tell them that, I thought.
Yeah.
There's a lot of back and forth. Like, it was fun. I was like, seriously, if you just tell them what's going on.
Well, she did.
Yeah. She doesn't trust them at first, right? For some reason, she doesn't trust her brother, but no, it's not her brother she doesn't trust. She just doesn't trust Hobbs. Yeah.
Well, she doesn't trust her brother either, though, because she still thinks that he killed his entire unit.
That's true.
Yeah.
And was a traitor.
Go with that. Like, what happened?
It's the
there?
Same thing that he did to her, that Brixton did to her. He just is just lies.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Basically, he was set up, and he's actually always been a good guy. But we've only
that's right. That's seen in his, him. That's in his contract.
But he's still bad. Yeah. He still killed Han, didn't he?
Oh yeah, but he was a good guy when he did it. But we didn't know he was a good guy, so it was fine.
Also,
so
there's in justice. His defense. Han was being a hazard on the road.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
And yeah. Police are targeting drunk drivers. Han didn't have a plan B, so Statham gave him the plan C, and that C was a car.
And, look,
and an explosion.
Jason's,
plan E.
Then he only tried to kill the rest of the crew. He didn't actually kill them.
Oh,
so it was fine.
That's right.
It's fine.
He didn't.
He killed them with a plan C, followed by a plan M, followed by a plan E. Car crash, monologue, explosion.
Yeah. That seems like his formula. That's like just what
classic
he does
formula.
The whole time.
CME.
Yeah. It's in his contract.
Yeah.
CME.
Look at the transporter.
I need my CME.
Yeah, that was the other movie. You know, like, so last week we were talking about Fate of the Furious, and I was like, I could have swore that he jumped out of the plane. I realized it was actually in the Transporter 3. Yeah, yeah, that's the one where he jumps out of the plane. That's the one that I was like getting confused. It wasn't Eraser, which is like Arnold Schwarzenegger from like 95 or something like that.
And I thought that he operated the machine guns on that plane, but I was thinking of the Expendables.
Ah! They all just blend into one by like, you know, a while.
It's not easy. Easy being your friend.
A little bit.
Yeah. So they have this explosive introduction of Idris Elba. He comes in and he's like, hey, I'm here.
Because apparently it's a smart idea to have the CIA building made out of glass. Yeah.
That's right.
So
it's nice.
But yeah, it does.
Well, Brixton and his crew roll up.
He's got a whole heap of goons. Yeah. Heaps
he
of goons.
Goons. That are, yeah, well, he has like two goons.
That's a lot.
Yeah, he's got more than that.
He has two goons with him in the building.
How many fall down the wall, like down the side of the building?
Three.
And then there's some at the bottom, there's some at the top, right?
There's some at the top.
Yeah, but they're not in the building with him, are they?
Yeah, he's... Just for like 2 seconds, he has like three... What is it? Three goons? Two goons.
Two goons with him.
Two goons
he has
with
a
like
lot
at
of
least
goons.
12.
Yeah, and there's a lot around. Of... Yeah, there's a lot of them there, really.
There's a lot of goons in proximity... But presently, there are two.
He has a lot of goons that honestly aren't pulling their weight. They're just hanging back.
No. I don't even know why he needs them.
They are still the goons, though. They're still there.
Goons for hire. They walk into the CIA building and kill everyone except the main characters. And they take Hattie and they jump out of the building and start rappelling down and running down the building.
Let's go after them. Yes.
And they do so. Yes. So Hobbs decides to do the cool thing and jump onto the man. No, he slides down the rope.
Slides down the rope.
Yeah. Whereas Shaw calls his bluff and takes the elevator.
Nobody tells me what to do. And then
nobody tells him what to do, and he didn't.
He knows.
So whilst Shaw is taking the elevator down, Hobbs gets sick of sliding and getting rope burn and decides to just fall on the below him.
Just as you do.
Smart.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He slams his face into the elevator where Shaw's standing, and that's a nice little moment. And then he gets sick of killing that guy, so he jumps on top of the next guy and then makes his way safely to the
they're
ground.
They're nicely placed out so that he can sort of just stepping stone his way to
like
Idris Elba. Yeah, yeah, it's nice. Yeah. And then he does he takes out the last guy and falls on top of the roof and survives as well. So
yeah,
I think
he's learned from like 7, right? Because he did that in 7.
Yeah, he did.
Like,
he did.
Rolled. All right, next time I know how not to get a broken arm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, I need to be the one on top.
Yeah, that's it. Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right.
And he does it with Idris Elba onto the car then.
Exactly. And this time he aces it. He crushes it.
Nails it. And lives.
Nails him.
Does Idris Elba. And the gunfight breaks out, to which they realize, holy balls, we can't kill this guy. What is he?
Nope.
What is he?
Yeah.
So they do the next logical thing and they get Hattie, who's now woken up. And they jump in Shaw's McLaren, which hats off to McLaren for being able to fit a monster like a rock.
Yeah, freak.
And three still drive quickly
as well.
Yeah.
Three people, let alone
one of them.
I was curious as to where Hattie was sitting, because that is where the gear stick is. I don't want to make assumptions, but I'm just curious as to what was going on there and how those gears were being changed quickly.
No, the gear stick.
He went into reverse at one point as well.
No, it wasn't. It was drive. It's on the wheel.
It's on
the wheel.
Right.
Yeah.
Sorry,
there is not
handbrake
a gear stick.
Is what I meant.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Right.
Anyway,
they're
being chased by a ton of blokes on motorbikes.
Yes.
And using some swift driving and brute force from the rock, they evade them, punching blokes into walls and juking Idris Elba into crashing his bike into a bus.
That was a
and they
sick
escape.
Scene.
Oh, that was, so, yeah, it was pretty cool. And this is that's the scene, right, where he goes underneath the truck.
Yeah, where he's got the transport motorbike.
Yeah. Which is cool.
I like the bit where there's a bike riding directly at the McLaren and the rock punches the window out and grabs the guy off the bike and then holds him and slams him into a wall.
I love that.
That is
so
cool.
Excessive.
And this is basically like, you know, all of this was in the trailers pretty much, which is like, so there weren't heaps of surprises here, but it was fun seeing the whole thing.
I think a lot of this was the advertising campaign that sort of spoiled it for me, because
a little bit.
There was like so much given away that you're like, there isn't really any surprises. And if you've seen the trailer, you've seen most of the movie. Like, it's, and some of the best parts of the movie are in the trailer. Like, it's, they don't really leave much out at all.
I am glad, like, they did show a fair bit of it, but they did hold back a bit from the actual final Samoan fight. The final, I'm not talking about the car helicopter.
Yeah, like, oh, the cliff face.
The
sort
cliff
of thing.
Face bit.
Yeah.
That was good. We just, didn't
is that enough,
that.
Though? Like, it's really, it's so minimal.
Yeah. But, like, the, but it was kind of like a, I think, Civil War ending.
Yeah. It reminded me of Mission Impossible. Fallout. Like, because
Fallout,
it's basically
on the mountain.
Everything like that. But for some reason, it didn't give away as much, or it was just way better. I think that movie in general is just way better. Like, the action is so much better. I was expecting the action to be way better than what it is, because it's David Leitch. Is that how you say his name? Leitch?
Sure. I'm pretty sure he's David.
Yeah, Leachy.
Because he was the Deadpool.
But yeah, he did like John
Atomic
Wick.
Blonde.
And yeah.
And all that.
So
yeah.
Like, I kind of like expected it to be a bit better than what it is, and a little bit more of like a lot of practical stunts. But I found like they often cut to, like, especially in the chase scenes, there's a lot of CGI going on, and it kind of just took away from those really cool practical stunts that we've had in like previous movies. Many of the previous movies in the Fast and the Furious franchise, but you know, in the first ones at least, there was some practical stuff.
For me, like, it was with all the CG, everything, like, it definitely did feel Fast and Furious-ish, but I it was the tone and the way they did it with a lot of fun. And like, there's a point towards the end where it's like, it's clear, like, yeah, we know, they're saying, like, they basically tell us, like, we know how ridiculous this is. We're just going to keep going with it to the point where it's like, it's just so stupid.
Well, it's like a James Bond movie, basically. It's like Idris Elba is like the Bond-esque villain kind of thing with his goons and everything. He's like the full kind of, like, what is it? What is the one where it's Sean Connery and the...
Odd Job?
No.
Dr. No?
You're talking about...
It's Sean like Dr. No.
Jaws?
Like, no, yeah, like, well, Jaws, it's kind of like Jaws. He's kind of like Jaws, but like they've got like the whole, like the sort of, is it Blofeld? Blofeld? I don't know.
Blofeld.
Yeah, he's got that kind of whole like secret facility and everything going for him and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of,
I get that.
And then when it's revealed that he's not really the big bad, he's the underling to someone else, it kind of evokes that kind of, I don't know, the espionage kind of.
Yeah.
Bond. So he's actually more like Dr. No to
Dr. No, Blofeld, that's it.
Big bad, which will.
Yeah.
Who is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. But, well,
speaking
moving on from that, they escape from London and need to lie low. Their next step in the phase is to figure out how the hell do we get this virus out of Hattie? And this is where The Rock comes in and is like, I know the creator of this snowflake virus, which is what they've called this virus.
Yes.
Sounds dangerous. Which
is a pretty lame name.
It but anyway, is.
Not going to judge the boy.
Yeah.
They realize that he's in an Atheon.
I think.
What the hell's it called?
The reason why they call it the snowflake virus is because it gets triggered easily. So.
Oh.
You're welcome.
But it doesn't though. It took 48 hours.
That was a long 48 hours because they're flying all over the place.
It was. And then it was like contact, a 16 hour flight in that 48 hours.
Yeah. I'm like, come on. Like, what's going on here? Like, why are they're wasting a lot of time in this movie, like flying all over the place.
They had to. Okay.
Yeah.
There's no other way.
How else do you get, what's his name?
There's only one guy that can fix the thing that he has never seen before.
Yeah. You know?
And he lives in Exactly. Tomorrow. Yeah. No one else can realize fix that.
Professor and Draco, who was the creator of this virus.
Yes, Malfoy.
He is in a Etheon facility in the Ukraine. So they go to the Ukraine using parachutes and planes and stuff.
And a little help from another cameo, right?
Yes.
That's at this point?
Is it?
No.
No, it's not this? Okay.
No.
It's not this yet.
Are you talking about old mate?
I am talking about the Marshal, When does he come into
it? That's on the way to Samoa.
It's before.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
So
it is
before. They're going to get to the like Ukraine. They have to get in disguise, right? And they get all their like passports and everything.
Yes.
And
yes.
I don't know whether you guys picked up on this continuity error, but so they're going through the customs. Yeah, the mustache.
I did,
and I was like, he walks up to customs. He's got a mustache, and it's like actually one that he's grown.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, maybe when he was going through customs, they had to do like some shaving.
Maybe.
Because he gets on the plane and he's got like, he's lost the mustache and it's like completely gone.
To check all your cavities, including the ones under your mustache.
Oh, yes. We're checking paws, buddy. Oh, I would not want to check the Rock's cavities. What I love though is the fake ID that Shaw gives him. I mean, that's so funny. Yeah. Michael Oxhurt is his name. And they're like, freeze. Are you Mike Oxhurt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, this is by the point I kind of checked out of that kind of that banter that they had. Cause I was like, by that point. And when it's just so we have the cameo in this scene where, all of a sudden you hear as they're on the plane, they're fighting.
As they're arguing.
You hear from just down the corridor. Here down the corridor, you hear this little voice come out, and it's a little person that comes out after the voice.
All right, stop. That's enough. Get it.
And it's
true though.
Kevin Hart. So he comes out, and he's the marshal on the plane. And look, a little person, I can actually say that I'm probably actually shorter than Kevin Hart in reality. But yeah,
let's Google that.
I think weirdly enough, you're taller than him. Yeah,
really. No,
I think he's like 5'4".
I don't even know what I am in feet.
You're shorter than me, but not by a whole lot. I'd say you're in like the 100.
Oh,
like
he is shorter than me. He is
1.63 meters.
Yeah,
that's
he's like a few centimeters less than me. All right, okay. So he's slightly shorter than me.
A loser.
Yeah,
so Dwayne Johnson's almost like a whole quarter. He's almost a quarter of Kevin Hart higher, like taller than Kevin Hart.
Did you just have a stroke?
I did. Okay, no, Let me rephrase that. Kevin Hart is basically 3/4 the height of Dwayne Johnson. Like he's a whole extra quarter on top of Kevin Hart. That's the height difference.
I like how they measure humans by quarters.
We should measure them of like how many quarters of Dwayne Johnson you are, kind of thing. That's what everyone's measuring.
Yeah. I can safely say I'm over 3/4 of Dwayne Johnson.
That's right.
I realize.
I could see that on like
height.
This conversation I could see that on
like Tinder accounts of like how tall are you? I'm about 3/4 of Dwayne Johnson, kind of thing. Swipe right.
No, that's how they do it. It's like how heavy are you? Oh, I'm 3 stone. How tall are you? Oh, I'm 1/4 rock.
Yeah, that's the rock measurement.
That's right.
Anyway, 4/5 rock. They're on the plane. They hear Kevin Hart come down. Mm-hmm. And this is the point where I completely checked out because I was like, okay, yes, they're trying to be a comedy movie and they're just sitting on the plane talking. And this goes on for way too long. This like
disagreeing time.
And you disagree?
It goes on for a while, but I disagree.
It goes on for a while. It is too long for me. I think because I was like, okay, just get to the action already. Come on, just move on. And this is where I was like starting to like just slow down. Like probably anyone that's listening to the podcast, they're probably like, just get on with it.
Probably.
No, we need to talk about Kevin Hart's cameo more because he's integral to the plot. We do.
So he basically says that as a Sky Marshal, he has access to nearly any aircraft. And
he's
if you need him,
hard.
He can be the third member in this crew.
Yes.
This dynamic is off and they need a third. And they're like, okay.
Yeah. What's his name again? What's his character's name?
Who cares?
Marshal?
Marshal. I feel like the sequel will be Hobshaw and Marshall. That'd be...
Ugh.
No.
Forgetting Hobbs and Marshall.
Forgetting Hobbs and Marshall.
So they land in the Ukraine and begin their covert mission into the Eton facility. Eton facility. Eton facility. This is where you see that scene from the trailer where they both go into different rooms and
beat up
Hobbs
guys
just
and
beats the crap out of one guy, whereas Shaw beats like
and
11.
Hattie has been captured by this point.
That's right.
So because she sort of gets captured on purpose kind of thing.
Oh, that's right.
Because she realizes that they can actually extract
the
virus.
They're doing the Mick Jagger.
Which...
They're doing the whole Mick Jagger thing.
And I was like, okay, this is probably not the best plan for her to have because really there's nothing from them, like on their side of things. Like, is there anything to stop them from killing her to get the virus out?
Remove, no, because if they kill her, then the blood won't be pumping and they can't suck the virus out.
So couldn't they just cut it out of her?
A virus? Cut her blood out?
It's like little capsules.
They're micro capsules are the same size as blood cells.
They work in he's an augmented human. They can do anything.
No, they can't. They're fusing crap to his spine. They're not pulling a single blood cell out.
So they need the blood flow to still be like flowing so that they can get the virus out. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Sure.
Okay. Because it's in her bloodstream. Right?
They could still extract her bloodstream. They could still
extract
all her blood.
Her bloodstream. Yeah, they can bleed her out.
Yes.
They could.
They could.
They could. But it's easier when they're not dead.
And
the
that
heart
could
does
kill
half
her.
The work. Just kill her afterwards. Keep her alive for 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah.
Anyway.
In the meantime, that's just not a good plan. Okay. That's all I'm saying. Not a good plan. Okay.
But they call this plan the Mick Jagger, right? Because this was harking back to when they were kids and they made all these plans and codename things. But funny trivia, like there's a lot of people posting and like commenting on this about social media because there's heaps of flashbacks to them as kids. Even though Vanessa Kirby and Jason Statham, they're like, their age
20
is like
years apart. Or
20 years apart. Like, how are they both kids at the same time? It's a little bit
ages
strange.
Rapidly. She doesn't age that quickly. Yeah,
she doesn't.
Maybe
age
he
at
was
all.
Just watching it. He was always watching, and what we saw in the flashbacks was Owen.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, yeah.
Where's Owen?
Owen in this? Freaking like nobody mentioned. Like
that
even
was
when
a
he
bit
goes
of
to
a...
prison. He goes and sees Helen Mirren, and she's like, I want to see you and your sister. I'm like, what about the brother? Like, is he just like the black sheep of the family? No one wants him.
I would have liked a little bit of an explanation as to where he was. Like, they just ignored him. It was like, oh, why don't we?
We don't really see him. No, after why don't we eight. Get like at the even at the end of eight, we don't see him.
Yeah, yeah. They're hiding him somewhere. A bit of an explanation would have been nice. Like, where is Owen? Oh, he's off world. Something like it would have been nice.
Yeah, something like that. That would work. Yeah.
It's set up, you know, Fast and Furious in space for the next one. But hey.
Which is what Fast and Furious 20 will be.
Furious X, I'm calling
so they
it.
Break into the facility and they get finally to the last room and there's a bunch of guys there. And they're all got guns on them. So they're like basically Idris Elba's like, captured. You took your time kind of thing to get here. So then they're captured and they're being tortured and they're like, yeah, we're going to zap you with this electric current. And the most anyone's ever survived was four times. And they're like, we reckon we could do five. And then like, yeah, he zaps them. Meanwhile, Hattie is getting her, it's like a chorus response kind of thing. Hattie.
Hey.
Meanwhile, she's in the other room and she's like, they're doing the extraction and whatnot. And then she kills like some of the guards, like the goons and the scientist guy.
They were the Mick Jagger, not her. Because it was a switch up.
Yes.
I kind of forgot what the Mick Jagger was. It's not really that important.
Somebody basically steals the show and limelight while the other team members do all the work. It's pretty much the Mick Jagger.
There you go.
Yeah.
She kills her guards and escapes then proceeds to see that Hobbs and Shaw are being tortured. So she sort of sneaks into the lines of these people.
Mm-hmm.
And basically just before they're about to die, she shoots Brixton. Well, tries to shoot Brixton in the face, but realizes she can't because all these weapons require some form of imprint to turn them on.
Yes.
Similar to that one scene in Skyfall.
Oh, another James
where he has
Bond
a gun that
similarity.
Is,
Yeah.
Bang. So or not. A big old fight breaks out. Mm-hmm. They Hobbs and Shaw are like, I'm going to drop kick that guy. I'm going to drop kick that guy. I'm going to face slam that dude.
Yeah.
And then they proceed to do so.
Oh, we did actually miss something as well, because before all this,
did we?
We found out that Idris Elba was working for a computer monitor, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And he's basically working for Donald Trump's favorite thing, and that's fake news. Because that's basically all that they do, pretty much. And he's like, okay, we want to turn Hobbs and Shaw because, like, this voice is like, we want to turn Hobbs and Shaw into enhanced humans because he sees some sort of, I don't know, something in them that would be beneficial to have, kind of thing. So that's kind of why he's interrogating them and taking his time to torture them because he wants them to actually convert to their it's like a weird religion kind of thing, right?
Kind of, yeah. He wants to turn them or kill them.
Yeah.
His boss wants them. He doesn't want him.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, it's like Emperor Palpatine.
His boss does, yeah.
Because Shaw and Brixton have a history as well, which we learn about that.
Yes.
Brixton actually was apparently killed by Statham.
If we know anything about this series, if you die, you probably come back.
One more person is coming back to life.
And if you actually die, you're coming back as CG. I can't make jokes now? Screw you guys.
Well, part of my contract is that, you know, like you can't say jokes past the 40-minute mark. And we're past that. So
you actually can't say jokes that are funnier than mine. So I'm gonna do that, please.
Jason gets the next 12 jokes. There you go.
If you're wondering where my audio track has gone, well, it's because I'm really funny. Anyway, they break out and they start killing a bunch of dudes, drop-kicking dudes and face-slamming guys, and it's pretty sick.
Mm-hmm.
As you do.
And they steal it. They steal the machine that gets the blood out of the woman, and they steal a van, and they're like, let's get up out of here, and they proceed to do so.
And they just leave the scientist guy behind, even though he's helping them. Just
flipping Brixen walks in and breaks his neck in the quickest, most easiest way.
Yeah.
He just like walks past and goes, dead, keeps moving. So,
And
the whole time.
I was like thinking, okay, yeah, he was part of their, like, you know, their escape. He was helping them. They kind of needed him because he has his expertise. But then they just drive out. They're like, yep, we got hay. We're leaving, kind of thing. That's just.
Well, he was on borrowed time anyway. They were shooting at him earlier.
That's true. But. Yeah. Yeah, I felt bad for that guy.
They do leave him behind. Well, they definitely.
Yeah, they do.
Don't.
But maybe
just don't be Russian.
The last leg.
They don't have time for Russian.
What about that Russian dude? No, he's got an accent. Let's leave him behind.
Yeah.
No, that guy's got an accent.
It's more probably like, no, he'll be right. He has a flamethrower. He'll be fine. Yeah. No one can.
Doesn't have a flamethrower. That's pretty baller. So whilst they're escaping, they've stolen a van or a truck, a flatbed, and Brixen catches up to them and jumps on the back of the truck, and they proceed to have a fist fight where they realize, good Lord, he is quick, he is faster than us, which is quick, he's stronger than us, and he's an absolute freak. Whilst they're driving away, though, they planted an explosive, and this explosive goes off, excellent timing, and brings down a giant chimney. Big chimney.
It's like one of those smokestack things that are at
smokestack. Thank you. That's exactly what it is.
At a power station, like, because it's an old sort of like disbanded power station that they're at.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminded me a little bit of a terrible movie, Wolverine, the origin.
Don't say that.
Yeah, no, it reminded me a little bit. And it looks so fake when they're coming down those. There's nothing that looks real in this scene. And it kind of takes away from the action. But I did think that this was the climax of the movie. I thought this was going to be it.
But turns out,
what about Samoa?
What would have saved X-Men Origins Wolverine is if they hadn't have ended it where they went and decided to go to Samoa, because that's where we're going. No, nothing would have saved that
movie.
It
makes everything better.
And I hate that you put this on the same level as that. Yeah. But hey, we'll move on.
Yeah,
we'll move on.
We also missed that Shaw meets with his special friend, who's basically Q. And they gave them a whole heap of gadgets as well before they went in there. But that was like way back. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was before the Ukraine mission. I was just skipping over stuff to get.
That's fair.
It wasn't that important.
So,
anyway.
The Rock is like, I know the best mechanic in the world or whatever. And we're going to go to the mechanic.
Golf grid.
To fix this machine.
Technological superiority. I also think Samoa.
I think you know, when I think of maybe, you know, having an engineer, I often think, you know, engineer, mechanic, same thing.
Samoa. You know,
that's Samoa as well, yeah. I feel like it's like saying that I'm a fisherman, so I'm qualified to be a marine biologist. It's like that far apart. It's like
I'm a fisherman, so I'm allowed to operate this submarine.
Exactly. Like, it's so bad. Like, just because he's a mechanic
have you ever
doesn't
operated a submarine before? No, but I fish, so I'll be able to get
a fish.
So I'm qualified
to fish.
I'll be able to pick this up in a jiffy.
Bang.
Man.
I don't know why they didn't just go to Tej. They keep saying that he's the best mechanic on earth.
Yeah.
Yeah, but let's go to Samoa because, you know.
Maybe.
Mum.
Maybe Tej is on grid.
Oh, yeah.
He's quite on grid.
Well, yeah, there's also that whole fake news kind of thing where they're like, suddenly the Hods and Shaw are also like outlaws and everyone's like wanting them dead kind of thing. Mm. So they kind of have that where they're like, yeah, that's our reasoning, but it's very slim. Like, where is Mr. Nobody in all of this? Like, surely nobody actually believes news that comes up.
He's hanging out with Tyrese Gibson and all the other Fast and Furious cast members that hate that this movie exists.
The family.
Was Jason Statham in the divorce. Mr. Nobody got everybody else. He got the franchise.
Yeah.
So they go to Samoa.
Yes.
They do.
The Rock is having a hard time meeting his family because it turns out that he ditched him and he sort of put a few of them in jail and he's very much cut bonds with his family in Samoa. But anyway, he goes there, they punch him in the face and his mum's like, no, we are Samoan.
Oh,
we will help him. Even if he needs the manor of the island, we will help him.
Yes.
And if you don't, I take this slipper and I slap you up. It's so funny.
That's right.
Yeah.
So
she's the best.
They finally give a full rundown on sort of what they need.
Yeah.
They need someone to fix the, not only is this guy the best mechanic, but he's also the best like reverse engineer in the world. He fixes the blood machine.
Yes.
And then the Rock and Statham and a bunch of sweaty Samoans in a beautiful montage, prepare the island for war.
Mm-hmm. They do. Yeah,
a big Samoan ass whooping, I believe is
a big Samoan ass whooping.
They dig up a road, right? And they lay down a whole heap of mines or whatever they are, like explosives. I'm calling them landmines, I suppose, because that's kind of how that works.
Mm-hmm.
How it works. But if you watch when they're driving down the road later on, it's like it's been paved. It looks like they're completely under the surface. There's no displaced dirt or anything.
Dude.
They did a very thorough job.
They know how to lay those things.
How many hours did they have by this point? Maybe like 10?
Look, it was still daytime, so it was 10.
Yeah. Well, actually, no, they're probably down to about 1 hour by this point to get all this ready. And then they go a night and a day in the whole final showdown as well.
Yeah.
So,
you're having a laugh.
I'd say it's at least a 12-hour turnaround.
Oh, well, that's good. Yes. Yeah. So Hattie is dead by this point.
She's dead. She's her body's in the ocean.
Yeah. I'm so glad we had this montage, but my sister's dead.
So while The Rock's cousin, the bloke from Die Hard 4, is fixing the blood machine, Hattie's figuring out a way to turn their guns off.
Yes.
And she hacks one of the gloves that she stole and realizes that for about 6 minutes, she can turn off all the activation codes for the gun, thus rendering them useless. Woo-hoo. The Rock then is like, we need to arm up. Let's have a look at our kick-ass armory. And all of the guns are gone and they're replaced with ceremonial clubs.
I get rid
of
them.
Like spiky crap.
Yeah.
She get rid of them.
Yeah.
So that's what they're going to be fighting the Etion army with.
Yes.
With melee weapons. So nighttime falls and the Etion guys rock up and it's a very big display.
Yeah, so and the Rock strips down for this. Like,
of course.
Which is also a necessary. Very big display, honestly.
I think it's part of his contract that he's like, okay, I've got to have my shirtless scene now. So he strips down for that and starts the...
But he doesn't commit to no pants.
He doesn't, no. That's
Which is a bit weak.
He has a skirt on.
I think he does rip that skirt off a little bit later on. He does, actually. He rips it off.
Nearly straight away.
Yeah.
As soon as they get in that car, they're like, shirts on, skirt off.
Yeah, okay.
He has a quick change. This is really unnecessary. And it's also not the most convenient thing to fight in when you're like going up against guns. I know that they're switching the guns off, but some armor of some sort would have been probably more practical.
Yes, but we're not going for practical. We're going for 300 Viking style, I guess.
That's true.
Trying to spook it.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Well, they decide to give the Etion guys a little bit of a cultural lesson.
Yes.
And they do a Samoan haka for them, to which the Etion guys are like, I'm just going to shoot them in the face. And they're like, yep, let's do that.
Yeah.
But then the guns get turned off.
What?
And a melee fight breaks out. Mm-hmm. And the Samoans just start like putting people in the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
As you do.
It's actually pretty cool. It's very cool. It basically looks like the New Zealand rugby team. and they're beating the living daylights out of each other. But eventually, they sort of start getting split apart. All their little traps get triggered. Mm-hmm. And the fight rages on.
Oh, my God.
But then... Hattie gets hit with like a flashbang concussion grenade, and she's a little bit cooked and is wandering around the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
She then gets taken by Brixton in a helicopter to which the Rock and Shaw, Hobbs and Shaw, gotta stop calling him the Rock.
The Rock and Shaw.
You know, they join force and they're like, holy, let's go and get her. So they chase after the helicopter.
This is where he puts his shirt on. Because, you know,
he puts a shirt on as he has a quick change.
Yeah. Because it's very necessary. Yeah.
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 Chucks a chain over the back of the helicopter to keep its nose down. Okay.
It's nighttime, but now it's quickly daytime.
Daytime. There's no sunrise in Samoa. Fun fact.
It goes from nighttime to midday, like 2 seconds.
They did say they were going to fight at the break of dawn. Like they were going to try to, like, time it that way.
That's
so
right.
So then they got the sun on their back.
Oh.
So, yes.
But that was they don't have the sun on their back because that helicopter flies in front of the sun, so they would have had the sun in front of them.
I also don't understand how,
quite
like,
high.
Do they, like, message the bad guys and say, look, we'd like you to show up at this time in the morning.
Yeah.
Just before
they could probably track them.
They're
like tracking is
they're like the old school duels kind of thing. They're like, I challenge you to a duel at daybreak.
I do my killing after breakfast.
Samoan native melee weapons at dawn.
Yes.
So they fling a chain over the helicopter to keep its nose down and stop them getting away. But the helicopter's like, I'm stronger than you, loser.
Yes.
And starts to lift off. This is where the rest of the Hobbs family
arrives. This so much.
In a myriad of different vehicles and a myriad of different, hey, you get an on-screen moment in this movie.
Yeah,
and they fling some chains on each other and like a weird Thomas the Tank Engine, they bring the helicopter
and
down.
And the Rock's cousin, like his real life cousin is actually in this as well.
Yeah,
in one of the cars. Which is he the guy that, because the Rock actually has one of his cousins is his stunt double.
Stunt double, yeah.
Is that,
this guy, that, isn't it?
That's actually the same one,
I think it's
right?
the same guy.
You
it's
don't
not?
Think,
oh, okay.
No, because this guy has hair. Stunt double is a there's a photo of a stunt double and it's a big dude with no hair.
Okay. Yeah, most likely because he shaved his hair to match the
Why would he shave his hair when he's also in the movie, you pelican?
He wouldn't shave his hair for this movie because he's not his stunt double in this movie, but his other movie.
Not in this movie.
You can have more than one cousin, man.
He can, but I just feel like there was one that was like his stunt double for the most
racist.
Part.
Racist.
What? How is that racist?
You're like, I disagree, so I'm just going to call you racist. That's all I'm
guessing. So eventually they bring the helicopter down and it crashes off a cliff.
Yeah.
But it also takes Hobbs and Shaw with them.
Yeah, and it crashes into nighttime. A stormy nighttime scene.
It's raining. It's heavily overcast.
Overcast. Like nighttime overcast.
There is dark clouds in the background of the cliff scene.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And it just arrives very quickly.
Yeah.
It does.
And then it is
Samoa.
Still daytime everywhere else.
It's a tropical environment.
Yeah, it's a tropical,
it's tropical. That's right.
It's a tropical afternoon storm.
Yes, correct.
Because they've been chasing for the whole day.
When you're
you
just a climatologist,
you know
Jason,
their struggles?
Then you can argue this. Yeah.
I just
come back when you know the facts, Jason.
Yeah.
Good. Get off Wikipedia and get in the real world.
I question one, the size of this island, because Samoa's like not that big, right?
No, it's like 4x4.
Yeah. And I just question that they can be like a dark storm clouds, like, you know, over there, and you have all these dark storm clouds. It almost looks like night in one location.
Yeah.
In the other location, it's like midday, sunny, not a cloud in sight kind of
Where's
thing.
The other location?
Where their cars are housed, like the actual workstation.
Where their cars are housed.
Yeah, like with
the car
yeah,
house.
The garage
the
kind
car
of thing.
Garages.
Yeah, yeah.
We're talking about
your car mansion.
Look, it's not a garage, is it?
The
it's
house
like in
of
between
cars.
Two silo things. So it's
it
like
is a garage. That's literally what they call it.
I hate you guys. So you've met your quota. You've overdone your quota.
Oh, sorry, mate. We're going to get fired, Dean. Bugger.
We're going to get a word from Jason's lawyer.
Next week. Oh, next week, it'll just be me. Solo review.
Well, getting back to the real money-making thing in this podcast, this movie. Yeah. They crash off a cliff into nighttime. I don't understand how it can be nighttime so quickly. Oh, it's so weird. God.
Oh. It is weird. I agree with you, Paul.
I quit. Hey.
Like, how big is this island where the car house is sunny?
The car house, exactly. The car house. Not.
When you say car house, Paul, like you mean a house with cars, right?
A traditional Samoan car house.
Oh, yeah, that's. I knew that's what you meant.
A kaka. If you're Samoan, we're so sorry.
Yeah.
But if you're not, five stars. So. Big old fight breaks out. Hattie's almost got the blood out of her. And they're like, as soon as that is 100% complete, shoot her twice in the face, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Hobbs and Shaw proceed to square off with Brexton.
It's really nice that they all survive this. Like,
falling off a cliff.
Yeah, falling off the cliff, you know.
Also, they're contractually
small
obliged
islands,
to
big cliffs.
Survive at least three cliff falls. Per movie.
Well, in their clauses, The Rock always has to like 3-point landing, whereas Statham's always, he's allowed to roll.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what happens.
He allows like 3 rolls per movie at least. Yeah.
3 rolls per movie. Yeah. That's right.
So again, in that same article that I read, he apparently was heavily involved in the editing as well, just to, you know, like oversee it. Just Jason Statham was apparently heavily involved or like, you know, would just float in and
hover
out
around
of the editing to just, you know, make sure that he was getting enough close-ups or whatever.
Look.
How's the cut looking?
Yeah, nice. Or just punch in a little bit more on me, hey? Yeah. Thanks.
That could be,
what is that, rotoscoping?
The coolest or most uncomfortable.
Make it nighttime.
Like, you know, unwanted housemate situation ever.
Like, oh, guys, it'll be like just me again.
So quickly.
What are you working on? Hey. You working on the climax on the movie? Hey. I noticed in the last edit that I watched, you just seem to have a little bit more of The Rock, and I that's not the final edit though.
Can't help notice that I took
just
4 hits in a row. Can you just cut that down 4 for me?
Yeah.
I want you to remember who's paying your paychecks. It's not me, but I could also smash you in the face right now.
Yeah, you see, I'm a co-executive producer along with The Rock, so it's you know, both of us paying your paychecks.
No.
But
yeah,
I'm the one that's in the edit
room.
Just
put a little bit more me in there and just take that shot of Dwayne
out.
I'm
the one who edits.
That'll be great. And then like he leaves and Dwayne Johnson comes and is like, oh, just put that shot of me back in and then take that one out.
Yeah.
Jason.
Yeah, take that one out.
You know that bit where Dwayne kills that guy? Can you replace him with me?
Replace his face with mine.
Do you reckon, maybe they did
Have you heard of these things called deep fakes?
Maybe they did 2 like extra edits of this movie. One with... where Dwayne got all the punches and one where Jason got all the punches. And they're the movies that those two have seen, kind of like thing.
Yeah, respectively. It's like, yeah, they're like, oh, Dwayne, your premiere's just across the road. Jason, you're here in this cinema here. So if you guys, you and your crew, get your entourage.
They
you
go down the cinema hall. One goes right, one goes left. And then,
Well, that's the marketing that we don't see yet when they come out on Blu-ray. It's actually going to be called Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs.
Yeah.
And then Fast and Furious presents Shaw.
Sure. Yeah.
It's like a double-sided disc.
Really dial in the viewer. All right.
Brilliant.
Swing it back around. So they're getting a big old fight with Brexton and they realize that we can take a, if I take a punch, you can get a punch in. And I actually like this bit.
This was
because
sick.
I very much enjoy slow motion, like water being blown off a face by a kick.
It looks which is
and
so
you also
really cool.
You also love team up moments, right? In like superhero movies.
I love team up moments.
So that's
so
basically
good.
What it is. Like they start to choreograph their moves a little bit and like, you know.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It was cool and hilarious at the same time because he just kept getting them like getting shots and then just getting absolutely smashed in the face. And it was hilarious.
Yes.
It looked funny.
But never
it
Jason
looked
Statham,
awesome.
Though.
Never Jason Statham.
So they eventually get enough licks in to damage whatever the hell is going on inside him.
Yep.
And we do a quick cut back to the headquarters of the people who are controlling Brexit. And they're like, yeah, Brexit. Nah, Brexit. He's Brexit. Done. Shut it down. Yeah, Brexit.
Why haven't we been calling him Brexit this whole time?
We should have been calling him Brexit.
He's the villain in England.
Brexit like, gets the last laugh.
He's an English villain, Brexit, or the Prime Minister. He gets a little thing pop up in his eyesight saying, you know, termination in 10 seconds.
Yep.
And he's like, well, that's how it is. And then obviously after 10 seconds he dies and Hobbs and Shaw win. And then a disembodied voice comes over the destroyed speakers of the helicopter that crashed. And this is the guy that has been controlling Brexit. And he's basically saying that, like, you know, I'm aware of you. I'm watching you. I'm coming to get you. And then this is where that Hobbs and Shaw reply. Yeah, same.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. It's something along those lines, right?
Yeah. Pretty much
something
it.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where this movie finishes. Yeah, they won. They sort of celebrate a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Samoa is saved.
And the rest of the world, apparently.
And the world,
and
I
the
guess. World.
Yeah, yep. And the world, yeah. And more importantly, like the whole world is saved at this point. Like,
yeah.
But mainly Samoa, especially Samoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then we go into a series of very bold moves, a series of post-credit scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So first post-credit scene is a very nice one, actually. It's where The Rock brings his daughter, who is a different actress than the one who played his daughter in Fast 7.
I was going to ask that.
It is different. 100%.
Different to the Fast 8 one?
I'm pretty sure she's the same girl from Fast 8.
I meant the Fast 8. Yeah, Fast 7 and Fast 8 is the same actress. This one is completely different.
Yeah, right. Yep,
really?
Guaranteed.
Maybe Vin Diesel got her in the divorce.
We get the good daughter. We get the new one.
Yeah.
The old crap
one. Yeah, it totally is. It totally is a different daughter. Because I was wondering that because like I did not remember much of, even though we watched it literally last week, I did not remember any of Fast 8.
No, it is different.
Yeah.
So this first post-credit, it's basically just Hobbs bringing his daughter to meet his mum, and it's a lovely little family moment, and, you know, like, big old Samoan family life is good.
Yeah.
The second post-credit sequence I actually liked. It's where Hobbs calls Shaw. Shaw is in a pub because he's English, and that's what they do. And basically he's just checking in on him and he's like, how's my friend going? And he's like, yeah, I'm going good. And then all of a sudden we hear outside a series of police sirens and a bullhorn saying, huge anus, we've got you surrounded, get out here. And basically Hobbs has swatted him as retaliation for the airport. Yeah. And Shaw's like, you don't know what you've started. And the final scene, which I actually thought was not super worth staying because I had a lot of people with me when I went and saw it. I'm like, no, stay. It's going to be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a very long credit sequence. But this last one is Ryan Reynolds' character. He appears to have taken some form of damage and he's like, we've found a different virus. Yeah. Whilst Snowflake melts you from the inside out, this one melts you from the outside. It's like ripping off a silk kimono in a hurricane and it just liquefies your skin. And he stabbed a guy with a brick, which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But basically indicating that there's another virus and there's a little bit more going on. And is there going to be a Hobbs and Shaw 2? We don't know. But we hope.
Be a Hobbs and Shaw 2. It's made so much money. It
really has done well.
Honestly, and Paul, I'm very sorry, but I
don't like where that sentence is going.
I can't really stand the Fast and Furious franchise. Like itself, but this.
Well, no one's asking you to. You've got enough games. All right?
Okay.
Stay away.
That's good. I'm glad you don't need me. But I'm so happy to watch these movies, like these spin-off movies. I'm kind of done with the Furious, like the gang. I just want more Hobbs and Shaw. Yeah.
The Fast team.
The Fast family.
So you're not about family, man.
I'm not a family man.
Yeah. You're not a family man.
I'm just a.
Breaking up the family,
man.
Though. Yeah.
You know what makes me the most sad? I just had a quick look at domestic gross. It's already made more money than Tokyo Drift.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, okay, well, it makes me sad because I really like Tokyo Drift.
Drift like the lowest grossing one of
significantly, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's Too Fast, Too Furious, The Fast and the Furious, Fast and Furious, Fast 5, F8, just goes up, 6, up. Then 7.
But yeah, Tokyo Drift was like always going to be like the worst one because it
was a weird movie.
Yeah, because it didn't have any of the original cast in it. Like it has the cameo of Vin Diesel at the end. Yeah. But it doesn't have
Han a recurring character as well.
After that, for like 3,
and they brought that weird Texan back
for one scene.
And that was terrible. They shouldn't have even done it.
Okay.
But yes, so that is where the movie ends.
Yeah, it's the end.
Boys, Dean, what would you rate this movie out of nitrous oxide fueled stars?
I think I'm going to give this 3.5 birds. I thought it was super fun, super worth seeing. Not obviously, like, definitely, if you bring your brain into this movie, you're an idiot. Leave it at the door. Don't think about it.
That's right.
Just have jolly good time, and it's hilarious.
A proper good laugh.
Go in for the laughs. Go in for the fun. Know that it's ridiculous. They know it's ridiculous, and they're just going to deliver on the ridiculousness for you. I had a stroke. Let's move on. But
okay, Jason, what would you rate this movie out of 5 beards?
Well, I brought my brain into this movie, unfortunately.
You're an idiot.
Like an idiot. Yeah. No, I was getting myself into when I went to the cinemas to watch this. I wasn't expecting much, but it goes for so long.
Actually,
it's way too long. And that's the thing that brings it down for me. Like, if it was half an hour, 40 minutes shorter, it'd be a great time. But
we had this conversation because, first of all, what do you give it out of birds?
I'm emu, so two and a half birds.
We had this conversation where you like, and you and I both agree, having kids makes movie going a little bit harder because
you go see
movies after you put your kids to bed. And then by the time you get to the movies, it's already late. And so if you go in to see a long movie, Rachel and I turned out to have, you know, be able to go on a day where our daughter was getting babysat by her grandparents. So we went to see this at 10 a.m.
Yeah, but I didn't go to a really late night screening. It was like only 8:30. Like, it's not even that late. Like,
by the time you get out,
it was only like, 11? It's not that late. Okay. I thought it was boring though. Like, there was like, it was just really long, like in sections. And I feel like, cause I thought the climax was going to be right when they're in like all the smokestacks sort of falling down and exploding the facility. And then it just has that whole third act that just comes in. And by that point, I'm like, is this movie going to end at any point?
Fair enough.
Just end already kind of thing. So yes, like, a 3-hour movie is definitely too long when you're watching it after the kids are in bed and everything like that. But, this wasn't,
you're just checking out.
Like,
okay.
Yeah. It felt long. It's not the longest movie in the world. It's only like 2 hours, 15 minutes or something like that. But it felt like it was 3 hours kind of thing.
The pacing was a bit off for you.
Yeah, it definitely was. Yeah. Some of the editing was not great. I think they could have cut down and just like trimmed down some scenes. Like, some of the jokes don't fall, like they don't land and they fall a bit flat. So I kind of felt like that if they trimmed back the fat on the movie, and it'd be a great movie. Yeah.
Fair enough.
There you go.
Yeah. That's
what about you?
All right, so 2.5. Yeah, I'd give it 3. I like it. Yeah. Okay. It's good. Not the best one. It's not as good as Tokyo Drift.
Did I rate this higher than you?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know why.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So, well, that brings us to the end of the podcast. Speaking of long movies.
Before we wrap up, do we want to theorize? Because I got some theories.
Who the voice is? Yeah, who's the voice?
Who's the voice?
Who do you...
Definitely Donald Trump, to, right?
Who do you think the voice is?
We can wrap. Okay.
Who do you think the voice is?
No, it's Donald Trump.
Who do you? I want you to Donald Trump. It's definitely Donald Trump. You just want to wrap this up.
I think it's Owen Shaw. Who do you think it is?
Why would it be Owen Shaw? That doesn't even
matter. Well, it's not.
No. It's Vin Diesel. He's trying to kill Hobbs and Shaw.
Who do you think it is, Dane?
We were talking about Tokyo Drift before.
Uh-huh.
And how characters tend to come back from the dead. It's Han. Han. It's okay. Definitely Han. Han's coming back as a bad guy. Definitely. This is what's happening.
That could work because they've already brought back
and he's
Brexit
got a vendetta against
a guy,
Statham.
So,
because, you know, that's what happens.
Does Letty, he have...
They did.
But that's really stupid. I don't think it's him.
Or it's Keanu Reeves.
Alana. It's Alana.
It's Elena. See?
Elena. It's Elena. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. There's, she's come back.
You killed my child.
Actually, fun fact, apparently they were in talks with Keanu Reeves for that character.
Really?
So potentially it could be Keanu Reeves in future movies that we see as the big bad.
Nice.
That would be cool.
So, I hate it when they retroactively change things, though. Like, I hate it when they have a voice in the first movie and they purposefully don't cast who that's meant to be, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
What I really appreciated of another movie that came out, was it this year or last year? Alita, Battle Angel, is they actually cast the big
Edward
bad.
Norton.
Yeah, and more and they spoilers just for that movie. But
so
anyways, so they actually showed him, so you knew that, like, if that movie got a sequel, you'd know who the bad guy was.
Yeah,
it sort of seems a bit cheap to write it retroactively after, kind of thing, like have someone else be that voice and then just be like, we don't really have a plan and let's
but if
just
it's Keanu,
make it up.
Will you really care that much?
Nah, no, probably not. I do like Keanu Reeves.
Well, if
I'm
you
sorry,
have a theory,
yeah.
If you have a theory as to who the disembodied voice is, and it's a serious theory, and you don't think it's Han, like an idiot, then join us on our series of social media platforms. We are on Twitter, we're on Instagram, and we're on Facebook. We're Nerds Before Birds on Instagram and Facebook. Birds. We are Nerds Before Bird, singular. Shut up. On friggin' Twitter. We would also like to say that if you enjoyed the podcast and would like to support, I'm trying to get us money.
What?
This is Jason, like, shush.
I'm watching beautiful payback.
Stop.
Happening right now. Payback for like.
What payback?
This is like what you do every week to me. Every week.
I don't verbalize it. I mouth it with my words to throw you off.
Yeah, completely. But I just want the listeners to know exactly what's happening. Yeah, I want people to know what's actually happening because they can't see you. They can't actually see what you're doing to throw me off.
Basically,
so, like, annoying. Stop it, please.
You might as well just be saying, this is payback for everything.
We have a Patreon. It is patreon.com/nerdsbeforebirds. You can contribute as little as $1 a month, and that just helps keep the mics hot and alleviates me from killing my co-hosts. So please go there. Their lives are literally in your hands. If you would like, if you don't want to support financially, that's totally fine. This is still always going to be a free podcast. Then just giving us a 5-star review would also be super helpful. Like I said, if you give us a 5-star review, there's probably like a 99% chance that I'll read it on the podcast.
We will.
So make it a snappy one.
Yeah.
Don't plug stuff.
Also,
it's our podcast.
Patreon supporters.
Dean, no, you don't get to talk. Dean, we're done here.
What were you saying?
Shut your mouth.
So what were
Patreon supporters, if you'd like another special opportunity we have for you guys, if you want to suggest a movie for us to review.
Movie. Yes.
Then go
one
for
of
it.
Three.
Send it through. Yeah. Yep. 1 and 3.
Now make sure you type quick though, because Dean doesn't let you finish sentences.
Yeah. Anyways, whatever, Paul.
I'm sorry. He's lashing out. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Stop lashing out, man.
Was going to say
angry.
It.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I'm sorry.
So
do you guys want to say anything else? Are we good?
We have for the next 10 people that sign up as Patreon supporters, we have.
Patrons.
Yeah, patrons.
Patrons from the Patreon.
No, whatever.
Patrons.
Yeah, you're doing it. You're doing it. You're doing it.
Am I?
You're verbalizing it this time. You're doing
oh
it.
God.
Anyways,
Support us on Patreon for more of this great content.
No. This is going on for too long, guys. Come on.
Is it?
Rein it in.
Okay,
my contract says that you can't do this.
Anyway, next 10 patrons.
So the next 10 patrons, they can suggest three ideas for episodes that we can review, and we will choose one of their three ideas. So it can't be anything in the cinemas, but anything that's, you know, out on digital, that's preferable, because then we can easily watch it and we'll do a whole episode based around their suggestion. So
that's basically what I said before, and so did Paul, but just with less words.
Yeah.
But
yeah, cool.
So consider, like I said, as little as $1 a month will get you all access to that kind of stuff. And like I said, five-star reviews super helpful can't do that. Also, head on over to our...
Very important.
Head on over to our... Head on over to...
How's your night going, Jake?
Head on over to our Facebook page to celebrate the upcoming release of Angels Have Fallen. Or Angel, God. Who cares?
Yeah.
I know. We don't care either, but we're doing it. we're going to do a review next week on either Olympus Has Fallen or London Has Fallen. So jump on the Facebook, give it a vote. Whichever one the audience votes for is what we will do.
If you want to suggest preferably a different Olympus. Movie, please... Please, if you want us to do something else,
Patriots,
please help.
that poll will actually be ending the day that this drops, so you're going to have to be quick to get onto that.
Right. Will this ever drop?
Yeah. If this ever comes out this episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, yes,
jumping over. That's Facebook is probably the best place. If you would like, you know, if you'd like to have a chat, hang out, whatever, Facebook's a pretty decent place to do it. Let Mark Zuckerberg get all your information, but we can have it too.
I think that poll's going to be finished by then.
If only you can extend it.
Yeah. Jason. If only you can, but you can't.
Oh, really?
Because polls can't be edited after they've received votes.
Oh, billion-dollar company, Facebook. Stick one.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have to do extend it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Just That's everything. That is a bye from me. Have a drive safe, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
What utter chaos.
Gosh.